What?
No, same bar. There's more about the last Masechta in the volume. I mean, on page 9, hammered out in the third line. The first few lines are continuation from last night, but then it starts new stuff. You see my cotton? Yeah. Very good. The third line. Varmin. Second word from the end line. Varmin b'shem Shmuel. They say the name Shmuel. Pricha v'shchin hamorad ikha b'neo. Now, this is talking about Taras, about leprosy. We were talking about last night. It's actually not leprosy, whatever disease it is. Something else, like, well, saline leprosy. So there was a machlokas, which we're going to survey again in a moment, between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbana. And the machlokas concerns what happens when you have one mega, one affliction which came, then went away, then it spread, expanded into another affliction adjacent to it, and then the first one went away. So is the second one a continuation of the first one because originally it was an expansion, or is it a new one because although it was once an expansion, but the original one is no longer there, so it's no longer anchored in the first one, so it's a separate one. And this is a relevant point because if it's one continuous nega, then there's no way you can become purified in the middle. If it's not one continuous nega, then we can pursue a legal fiction, which is to say, well, you're purified for the first one because that one went away. Now the second one we don't have to look at yet, we'll look at it some other time. In this specific case mentioned in our Gemara, after Yontif. In order that on Yontif itself you should be pure. So actually that's a legal loophole because actually you obviously do have a impure blemish. But that impure blemish we don't have to take into account because it's not, doesn't depurify you, doesn't defile you, until you're actually viewed by a Kohen and pronounced to have become Tommy.
What?
No, it's a specific type of white spot. It's not, it can't be a red, it's no pimple or, you know, it has to be smooth in the skin, white, with white hair in it. Mm-hmm. So it's very complicated to actually, we don't have Taras basically anymore. So it says, Marfa, I'm in B'shem, Shmuel, they said name Shmuel Pircha B'Shchin Hamorad. The difference the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan is manifest in the case where the tzaras took over the entire body. The halacha is if a tzaras takes over your entire body, you turn white, you become an albino, then you are you're considered pure. So if you have a blotch, but not if you're completely white. And there's also a halacha of Shchin Hamorad. Shchin Hamorad means that let's say you have the shear of a shchin the shear of shchin and shchin, which is another term for zaraz in this case, is the shear of the size of a small bean. So the thing is, let's say you have zaraz around your finger, but the top of the finger is clean, the top of the finger is not the size of a bean. So even though if you take the entire area, that would be tameh, but we only look at each surface separately. So despite the fact that you have a large blemish, since not one of the surfaces has the size of a small bean, so you are tar. Okay?
Would a worm be a blemish?
No, only white, the same thing. No. So it has to be flush with the skin, not raised elevation. A wart is like a pimple in a lung. Yes, it's called, I think it's called, they identify most closely, although I don't know if it's exact, with Hansen's disease, which is not exactly leprosy. No, Hansen's disease is leprosy. So this is something else. I don't know exactly what this is. They don't know who it is. What? Seems that it's extinct, but we don't know for sure. We just don't notice it anymore. So the name, it says, so Pircha Shechina Mor Beneo. That's the difference between the Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan. Pircha, where Pircha expanded, and Shechina Morat, and the case where it's around a surface which is not uniform, in other words, like the fingertip. Rabbi Akiva Omer, he cut Mesa. Okay, so what happened was here, and the way they were describing it, first, let's say you had an interesting thing. Let's say you had as part of your body was smooth, right? And then it became it's hard to figure to see what they specifically talk about. Let's say a person's nipple, on a person's chest. So let's say originally he was quite fat. So when he was quite fat, so then the nipple was flush with the rest of the flesh. And he had, if he had saras on that area, so of course it makes him tummy. But then afterwards he lost some weight, so the nipple protruded more than the rest of the flesh around it. So then in that case, the shechin, although it's the same shear, the same amount is there, but since now it's no longer a flush surface, so he loses his status of tummy, right? Because it's no longer flush. So it says, Rav Kiva Omer, in such a case, let's say you had, first he had one spot, then the spot receded, right? And then the spot became, then you expanded, you came wide over your entire body, right? Not the spot receded, but rather because the surface became irregular. And then you expand over your entire body. So Rav Kiva Omer, he cut mesa. It's all one long tzaras. Because even though it receded, it still considered to be the same thing. Now, technically, at that point, he could have been tahor, right? Had he gone to a kohen, but he didn't. Okay, so if he didn't go to a kohen to say he's tahor, so actually now when it goes throughout his entire body and becomes completely white, he becomes tahor now, because we know that a poreach mina tameh becomes tahor. If you were tameh and then it spread over your entire body, now you're considered tahor, right? Rabbanan Amrei, Rabbanan say no chorehu. Once it's interesting. Once it recedes in this fashion, so then it's considered to have become as if it's no longer there. According to Rabbanan, it's as if it dissipated. Even though it's still there, but since halachically it's not there, so it's as if it dissipated. And then when it spreads throughout your entire body, right? So porech mitoch hatu. That's porech mitoch hataro. It expanded out of something which was torah, not out of something which is tummy. So therefore, since that's the case, you remain somebody who's parech minatuma is tor, but somebody who's parech minatara is tummy. Okay, so Rabbanan Michoriu, it's another one, and therefore kaparech minator is tummy. It's parech minator and it's tummy. Begin that. So it says Gemara, begin the hu chori. Says, well, it's not exactly like I said, but rather because there's another, because, well, the Gemara is not saying this, I have to qualify. There's one other point that didn't make, which is important, which is that according to Rabbanan, even though the original one has now receded, both according to Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan, even though the original one has now receded, but there's another one next to it, which is an expansion. So there actually are four stages. They had the original one, then one expanded next to it, then the original one lost its surface because he lost weight or something, and then it expanded throughout his entire body. Okay, that's a critical point. So Rabbanan hold that it's, since the original one is no longer there, even though this is a one point expansion, but since the original one is no longer there, not because it disappeared, but because it lost its surface area, so therefore then at that point it became tar, and now when it expands through his entire body it becomes tummy. But Rabbi Kiva said, even though the original one has receded in its surface area, but nevertheless, at some point, this new one was an expansion of the old one. Since it was an expansion of the old one, so therefore, in fact, the original nega, the original affliction, was continuously present. And therefore, when expanded throughout his entire body, then he becomes tor at that point, because since he was continuously tummy, that makes him tor. Okay? So it says the one again, Rabbanan Amrei Chorehu, Kiporech Minatar Tomei. Rabbanan say, let me go back a line. Let me start with the fourth line down. Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Akiva Meakikan Mesa, this is the same one, continuous. So therefore, Kiporech Minatar Tomei, when it expands throughout the entire body, it's expanding from Tomei, and therefore he's Tar. Rabbanan Amrei Chorehu, the new blemish is a different one, and therefore, Biporeach Minatar, it's expanding from the Torah, and therefore it's Tomei. Begin to chore. That's because the one which is there now is a new one, because the first one receded in surface area. In who, but if it were in who he, if it would have been the same one, so then Torah would have been Torah. V'asa kaidam Rav Shimon Lakish, and that's what Rav Shimon Lakish says. The spavin this machlokas parcha bo b'shchina morad. If you have something which expanded out of a nega, which had originally lost its surface area, so then Rabbi Yochanan my Torah, Rabbi Yochanan says he's Torah. Now, albeit it lost its original surface area, but nevertheless, technically, still the same nega. So therefore, since it's technically the same nega, so therefore, when it expands from that nega, it's Torah. Now, I don't know; it's not clear whether the Kohen actually came and pronounced him Torah. In which that case, I would find it difficult what Rabbi Yochanan said. I would say that. But it's a case where the surface area has receded. And it's evident that if a Kohen comes and pronounces it, he'll pronounce it Torah. But a Kohen has not yet gotten around to do that. Rabbi Elkan says, so therefore, if it expands throughout his entire body, so therefore he becomes Torah at that point, even though it should be regarded as Torah mitoch ha-Tomeh mitoch ha-Torah, because that it expanded out of something which was not Tomei, but since the Kohen never formally declared a Torah, so therefore now it expands and he can be considered Torah at this point. He says, since the original one's surface area receded, so therefore it's no longer considered to exist, even if a Kohen is not yet pronounced to be Torah, and therefore when it expands throughout his body, he retains his character of Tumah, and becomes Tomei, because it's like a Poreach Min Hatar, since technically speaking his original nega was gone, so it was like a Perech Min Hatar, and now he becomes therefore Tomei. Again, the process is always reversed. Whatever you were before changes when you become the albino type. If you were before Tar, you become Tomei, before Tomei, you become Tar. The Machlokas is where the surface area receded, but you have not yet been formally declared Tar, if you were considered at that point to be nevertheless a candidate for Tara, and therefore if you then get the blemish spread, you are considered to be Tomei. Or do I say no, as long as it didn't actually become declared to be Tar, you're still considered to be afflicted with that first affliction, and therefore it expands, you are become Tar out of your state of tumor. Okay, if that was all very confusing, then now it will improve considerably. Okay? Vodamarimir. Rameir said it furthermore. Malakin Adam ad somos avivimo. A person is allowed to collect the bones of his father and mother on Cholamoy. Mirnation Simcholo, because it's a happy event for him to go and collect the bones of his relatives, scattered relatives on Cholamoy. And interesting, Gemara, Barishoina, originally, they actually used to bury people. There's a sect in India which does something like this, where they leave the corpses out for the birds to rip the flesh from the bones. I forget what sect that is. Buddhist? Is it all Buddhist? Not all Buddhists, is it?
I saw a crazy movie about the Dalai Lama. So
yeah.
One of these movies that showed somebody died and left the body out for the birds to eat.
Really? I bet you don't do it in America, though. Yeah. So, hey, man, they're not so from here, probably. So, in any event,
like I said, everything is told. There's a purpose for everything. It all fits in. That's why I went to that movie.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, it goes to show nobody's from in America. That's the flip side.
Recently,
two movies about the Dalai Lama from recently.
I read somewhere that the religion closest
to the world. I don't believe it. I read that the book, The Jew and the Lotus. It's a kind of a nutty book.
3 days
that
the
Arab Anyway. So name it. So originally they used to do something like this. But show you coming, so they used to bury dead people by Marmoros. Marmoros are open holes, so their flesh would rot quicker. When the flesh would rot, it's almost they would collect the bones. The covenant of some barazim, and that day they would bury them in a secret place, meaning or underground, or according to carbonator means in a cedar coffin, right? Like wooden coffin. And also that day when they used to move the grave, move the bones, also Yomei Misabel, that day they would be sad, the relative whose bones are moving, of the relative person whose bones are moving. The next day would make a simcha. Lomar, I guess, is like the source for making like a kiddush on a yahrzeit. Lomar sheni nochu avos aminadin, because he would feel happy that his parents or his relatives had rested now, had respite now from their judgment. Meaning that part of the affliction visited on a human being after his death is that the body rots and is eaten by worms and all sorts of things. So that's part and parcel of the affliction which people suffer because of their sins. So therefore he's happy that that affliction no longer applies to his dead relative. It says that although human beings cannot feel with their nerves, their bodies decomposing and being eaten, but there's a very deep sense of shame and degradation, which is very, very powerfully afflicting to the dead soul. Okay? Is that what?
Is that consistent with
all teachings? So far as I know.
Well,
it's what it says here.
Such as the burial rites.
Excuse me.
And the notion of the pine coffin with the hole in the body.
No, yeah, right. That's, we want the body to decompose quicker. Right, because it atones. The quicker the better. That's why they used to leave it open out in the open to rot.
The Hebrews have to be shown up how you cover them so far. Who's they?
I don't know. How am I supposed to know where Rishona is?
The way it's phrased, it seems to apply as like a general rule that everybody does.
Right. Obviously, that's what it implies. Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a particular group, it was everybody.
No, it's everybody. Maybe by the first base of Mikdash, I don't know when it was, but that was general practice. Okay, say some more further.
Just
I don't think so. I don't remember the Bavli. It's not cross-referenced here on the side. Tani, amavi orami makom l'makom. If somebody transports a coffin from place to place, ain't bo mishum liku, that's almost, there's no, there, it's not considered to be gathering of the bones, vis-a-vis that loch of having to mourn on that day when they're moved. Amrabi yachadah, that's omar baron shalait, it's only if you're moving a coffin, which is made out of stone, so the body did not decompose, or even the coffin not decompose, and therefore you're not collecting anything. If it's a wooden coffin, so therefore there was some decomposing either inside or outside the coffin, and that's why it's considered to be like gathering. Rabbi Yosef said, I shouldn't say decomposing, scattering. Scattering of the bones. Rabbi Yosef said, Afilu, the next word Tamar, the Gilead Ephraim takes out, Afilu Baron Shalait. Since it's all contained within the wooden coffin, it's not considered to be the collecting of bones. What is gathering bones? Because when you take all the bones and you put them into a sack, and you muck them from place to place. But Tani Kane, we learned what also what's Likuratzamos, not just carrying and transporting, but rather malakit etzemetzem, literally to gather up bones by bone, nishisachla bosa, once the flesh is decomposed. Chagai B'Shem Rabbi Zira said, Likutei Atzamos Kishmua. Likutei Atzamos is exactly what it sounds like to gather the bones. Tani, we learned. Ain't Shmua Likutei Atzamos. If you hear that bones were collected of your relative, but you're not, you weren't participating in the ceremony at the time yourself, so then you don't have to do Avelus. It says you have to do Avelus one day when the gathering of the bones takes place, but that's only for an actual participant. If you hear about it later on, so you don't have to do it. Suppose if one hears of a death in the family, one has to sit Shiva sometimes, if it's within 30 days or not. It's not true about this momentary ritual or brief ritual of Avelus when one's the bones of one's relatives are collected. Okay? Says Martani, that depends. Who should Shama Lamach explain for the next day? I'm Shema Baba Yom. If on the very same day that they were gathered, you heard about it, Yesh Shmuel Likutei Atzamos that you do have to sit briefly in Avelus on that day, which you heard that very day they are collecting your relatives' bones. As Rabbi Shir Likutei Atzamos, is there Shir how many bones are gathered, a measurement? Only Jews could ask questions like that. So says there was this guy in the internet. It wasn't that funny. And a guy a couple of years ago wrote what halachas of Christmas trees would look like if we actually, if it was up to us, you know, we actually took the halachas of lulav and the Christmas trees. So I think I told you that once my barber said, "You guys are so lucky that you guys don't have to spend $40 or $50 every year on a Christmas tree like we do." And I was did not say that we spend more than that on a single branch. Forget about the tree. All right. No, I restrained myself. Says go further. So Tana the Kumche Kumi Rabbi Zira the Kumche Tana Rabbi Zira and Shir Likud Atzamos. No, but it doesn't matter. As much as few bones as you gather, that's right. It's to be legal. It's almost a person is required to conduct himself with Avelus for that one day. Right, Mona Hori Rabbi Hillel the Kifra. Right, Mona Paskin to Rabbi Hillel of Kifra Likloa to rend his garments Lisabel and to mourn. Kir Rabbi Yacha, like Rabbi Yacha, that all the halachos avelus supply on that day when the bones are gathered. And Shaloli Thomas, nevertheless, he was not allowed to go to the ceremony because Rabbi Hillel himself was a Kohen, so he had to stay away. Kir Rabbi Yossi, like Rabbi Yossi, it's not clear which Rabbi Yossi you're referring to. So it doesn't say anywhere that Rabbi Yossi forbade or over anybody else. But I guess it's just not mentioned in the Yerushalmi anywhere. Tani, we learned. Likutei Atzamos Einu Mimalein Kinei V'nei. When they gather bones, you don't say lamentations and... give me a good word for nay. Mourning... Wail, no. Wailing we're going to have. Are we? Wailing. Let's go wailing. Okay, but there's no
lamentation.
Yeah, they still wail.
That's right.
Ululating, or something like that. Ululating. It's U L something.
I was at a current.
They do it also weddings, though.
Yeah, right.
It's a catch all. You mean there is no theoretical okay says it on further there's a practical difference, not a theoretical says it on when you lose the votes you don't say lamentations and wailing. You also do not see the special bracha said in the presence of mourners, nor do you console the mourners. What is the blessing said to the avelim? Mashem, we're sure what they say when they make a wine. We don't do this so much anymore. We do a little bit like that, but you know, when they come back from the graves, so they make a line between the consolers and the mourners walk through. But they used to say much more during that processional or recessional, whatever you want to call it. Tani, we learned, Avol Omri Malayan Dvarim, you say things about them. Maudvarim, what's the things you say about them? But I make Kilusim, you say praises. In other words, you don't say lamentations in mourning, but you say praises, right? It's interesting, I saw in the, what paper had this? Maybe it's JWF News, said that a bunch of these Jews went to the Ricky Birdsong's Levaya, and they noted, one of the conservative reform rabbis, conservative rabbis noted, there's a difference between a Jewish Levaya and a non-Jewish Levaya. The Jewish Levayas are occasions to be sad, whereas this non-Jewish Levaya was a celebration. So we don't really have that concept. I guess it's from the Irish, the celebration concept. Yeah. So we don't have that concept, but except here it says the interesting thing that normally when a person dies you wail and you lament, but when this person, his bones are gathered, so then you say, you know, praises about him, but you don't mourn and lament, which is a different type of ritual, obviously.
The implication is that this is also said during the shura of a regular obeisance, isn't it?
No. No, it's a separate statement. Period. Tani Abba Omri goes back on what you do and go when you do Liku Dot Samas, gather the bones.
So the careful is actually all the mass in which the
Jira
is celebration
there. It's a celebration mass? Okay, but they might not mean celebration the same way. They might mean like we say celebrate Tishma.
Well, they mean celebration to basically
the seven dead. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, we don't have that concept. Says, you can't arouse on your dead, on a dead person, on Cholomoid. Ezua Yura, what's arousing? Maski Rosso Ben Amason. So that's interesting. We're not talking about the eulogy, that's the next thing. That's to mention him among the dead, kind of like what we do today, the Kel Mole. Right, in other words, but they used to do Kel Mole for a guy who died, and you can't mention do the Kel Mole on Chol HaMoed. I don't know if we do today. I don't remember being in the Levaya Chol HaMoed recently, but I can tell you if they actually made the Kel Mole or not, but that's what it seems to be, not to mention them. Probably do make it made, because it says here, it sounds like it's a special prayer, not exactly our Kel Mole, that says Maskiroso Beina Mason. Like to mention him among, you know, the dead. So it sounds like it was some prayer on the plaques. You know, they went down the list of plaques and read all day. So we don't have that kind of prayer anymore. Just collect your money. So it says about Evelice Benetti, not allowed to eulogize. Ezu Hesped, what's the eulogy? Shuosilo Hesped Vneatmo. It's not mentioning him together with the other dead people, but giving him his own individual Hesped. Obviously, you must pay more for that. I was once I was in Yerushalayim, a grandfather of a friend of mine died, and the father was at the time the rabbi of a community in West Hempstead. And he told us over that the Chevra Kaddish in Yerushalayim, you know, the people are going to bury his father. So they asked him, what kind of Levaya do you want? Do you want a Levaya with crying or without crying? If you want it with crying, it's going to cost you more. Okay, so it costs more to have crying. So he took the one without crying. All right, so in any event, says the Gemara, now this is talking about a person who's been dead for a long time. I think I made a mistake. I think it's not talking about Chomo, I think it's still talking about the time you collect the bones.
No, but I think this came back to the Mishnah. One second.
No, it is going back on the Moyer Yontif, right? Okay, so it is going. So it says, I was right. It's going back on what he could do on Chol Moed. Hadar Atom Rabbi Yosha. If it's an old death, you can't say Hesped on Chol Moed because it's going to make people rearouse people to cry. But if it's a new death, you can make Hesped on Chol Moed. The reason being is that they're all worn out already from all the recent Hespedim, and it's not going to add any additional mourning on Chol HaMoed. Okay? Ezu Chodesh Bezu Yosha, what's a new Avelus, or you can say Hesped, because it's still as in within the stages of the initial impact. Chodesh is, and what's an old one? Ezu Chodesh Tok Shloshim Yom, it's within 30 days of the death. You can make a Hesped on Chol HaMoed. Yashon, if it's an old means Acher Shloshim, it's more than 30 days after the death, so you can't make it because it brings new grief to the individual which is not suffering at the moment. Tani, we learned Isha Lotar Isha Levayosa B'moed. A woman should not arouse her mourning over her spouse on Chol HaMoed. because that's particularly, you know, sorrowful. But now Rav Shmuel Yamona said, Omar, Liv Yosah is kind of like a play on words. Liv Yosah is a spouse, but also comes, as the Carbonator points out, from the word for a mourner, a cry, Yilolah. K'mod et tema, like it says, Hasim Orei Liv Yosah, the ones who are eventually going to arouse lamentations. So Liv Yosah there means the lamentation. Tani, we learned, this is kind of out of left field, a person should never marry a woman who already has kids. I feel care if even the kids are already dead. I'm Rabbi Yasso. Why? Your name Maisa Shira, because the Maisa which happened, the Bible actually brings down the Maisa, that a woman who had kids, they had died already, but had had kids, she married a new spouse, and her husband set aside money to go up to Yerushalayim for Yom Tov, and she used the money to hire eulogizers to eulogize her dead son, and they didn't end up going to Yerushalayim for Yom Tov. So the moral of the story is, never marry a woman who had kids. No, it's just advice. Okay? It's going to be bad. Okay, says the Mishnah further. Ein chofrin kubchin, one is not allowed to dig a burial, I think they're like in catacombs, you know, like niches in the wall. Ukvaros and graves, moed and chomoid. But you can dedicate the catacombs, and the Gemara is going to say what that means. Vosin nivrechas, you can make a nivrechas. The Gemara is going to say what that means also. Vorani mames bechotzer, and you can make a coffin in the same courtyard where the dead body is, so he knows you're making for somebody who's dead. Rabbi Yosef Eli Kadeshim on the Sarim Yudah forbids this unless you had planks ready for him before Yom Tov. Eizu Chino Kvaros. What is considered to be consecrating or dedicating the graveyard? Rabbi Yosef Bar Naroi Amar, Sodom Besid, it means to plaster with lime. So actually we're talking about, I guess, a burial cave. And they plaster with lime, and that was considered to be the finishing touches, which are permitted on Chol HaMoed. Achistamar, Imayo Oro, the Oro Chbukat, so Chist says, no, it's custom fitting. In other words, sometimes you dig a long, you have a long grave dug, and you have to shorten it. So if it's long, you make it shorter. Imayo, and so that's what you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Roshuma Levi Omer, Marach Bo Mitzad Echur, Marach Bo Mitzad Acher, you can even do two sides. You can make longer one side and short on the other side. That's okay. You can also do that on the Chol HaMoed. Tanya Rabbi Chia said, Marachibo ben mitzarecha ben mishnei tzadim. You can make it longer or shorter. I skipped, actually. You can make longer one side and shorter on the other, but not longer on both sides. Tanya Rabbi Chia says, Marachibo can make a longer on both sides, shorter on both sides, ben mitzarecha ben mishnei tzadim, whether one side or the other side. Both in Nivrechas Moed, one can make a Nivrechas. What's a Nivrechas? Zeh Bakia. That's called the Bakia. Now, Bakia means this thing which Rabbi Chia is saying to literally means to wedge in or to dig in. So it means to make the finishing touches to the burial area. You're allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. Okay? Koshu Toshav, anything which is made to set the dead body in. Toshav means Lo Shivenu, to set it in. Nikra Bakir, that's called Bakir. But says we're further quoting the Mishnah, Varoni Ma'is Bechalter, you're allowed to construct the coffin with the dead body in the courtyard. Hoda, that's our Marvin Meshen and Meforsim. That's only if the dead person is not famous. So therefore, people are not going to know there's a death unless it's actually the same courtyard as the corpse. Avon Meshen and Meforsim, but it's a famous dead person. Everybody knows about the person either because he was famous when he was alive or his death is famous. So then, you can make the coffin in the marketplace because everybody knows that this coffin is going for this famous dead guy. When Rabbi Chanina, the friend of the rabbis, died, they made him an aron in the marketplace along this lines of reasoning. By the way, I don't know if I told you this, but Rabbi Chanina was called Rabbi Chanina, Chavron, the Rabbanu, Rabbi Chanina, the friend of the rabbis, because he never got smicha. He never got Israeli smicha, which was the superior smicha. He only had the Babylonian smicha, which is our smicha nowadays. So therefore they called him Rabbi Chanina. So therefore they call them Rabbi Chanina Chavin de Rabbanan, as opposed to Rabbi Chanina, which would have been his formal title had he actually achieved the Israeli smicha. Okay? Says the Gemara. Not really. It's hard to describe. You know, the one in Eretz Yisrael is far more extensive. It's not just a continuation of the same course of studies, but rather it's more expansive. Gave you more broad authority, much more judicial legislative authority, which the Smicha in Eretz Yisrael doesn't give. Smicha in Eretz Yisrael just chutzlaritz indicates just a degree of proficiency in halacha. Ha ha. Not anymore. But those days it indicated a degree of proficiency in halacha, and Eretz Yisrael actually gave judicial and legislative rights.
A lot of power.
Yeah, a lot of power. Okay? Says more about they said, oh, they used to say only half jokingly that smicha in New York consisted of a piece of paper with Reb Moshe Feinstein's phone number on it. So that was the extent to which you knew about halacha when you finished. You knew enough to know that you didn't know enough.
I was told that why you
they lied to you. Why is Smicha Brahma's own entirely non-Shulchan Aruch? You klep Shulchan Aruch usually in YU. You know what klep tests are? Klep tests are where you take tests in lieu of taking courses for college credits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Honestly. Okay?
The big one,
yeah. Not the little one. Sure, the club test. Not the kids who know the big one. The big one. The whole shebang. Okay. Says more further. I just want to make sure I'm only casting spirits on my own smicha, not on his smicha. I'm sure his smicha is very good. Okay.
From this institution.
Yes. Says more further. Everybody agrees that he can't cut down cedar trees, chop them down fresh on Chol HaMoed to make the coffins. The coffins are similarly lacks of money. You can't cut out stones, quarry stones, in order to make the gravestone. If there are stones, and the question whether you want to put on the finishing touches on them, tiftuk to the Rabbi Rabbanan, that's machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan, the same thing we had in Mishnah, where if you can make a coffin out of wood, even if the planks are not in the courtyard, or the planks have to be in the courtyard. So to you, the question is whether you can put the finishing touches on the stones, or the finishing touches where they have to be there. That's machlokas. Okay. Now, as you pointed out before, immediately from death, we go to marriage. You thought you were joking, right? No, you probably didn't think you were joking. What is not allowed to marry women on Chol HaMoed? Lo besulos, not for the first time around. Lo amonos, not widows. Lo miyamin, was not allowed to even do yibum. Marry one's deceased brother's wife. Vimnesha simchoi lo, because it's a joy for him. But you can take back a woman you divorced on Chol HaMoed, because it's not such a big joy. A woman is allowed to do all of her toilette, or you know, all the things she does in terms of putting on jewelry and cosmetics and all kind of stuff. Moed or Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in the Bible it says Chachomim Omer, but here it says Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Isha lo sosa, the woman should not apply lime, facials on Yontif. Nation evil law, because it is painful for her.
Okay.
Yeah, my fish removes the hair. It's a depilatory. I guess they knew how to mix it, so remove the hair, not the skin. They probably learned from experience. Okay? Says the Mishnah further. Says my further. Top of 11. Shimon bar Babisha Rabbi Yocha. Shimon bar Nebbi Rabbi Yocha said, Nibnei bitul piri v'rivi, now I want to get married on Yonti, because people are not going to engage in being fruitful and multiplying. Now that means is, if people are allowed to get married on Yonti, they're going to put off getting married until Yonti, because because then they can kill two birds with one stone, celebrate the yontif and celebrate the wedding at the same time. So then if you're not going to get married the rest of the year, we want people to get married throughout the year. Okay, imagine how it would wreak havoc with the wedding dates if every time they got married around yontif. Bokum Rabbi Yassi, they asked Rabbi Yassi, Eved, Maushi Samamoid. Was slave, can he get married in Cholam Moed? Now, this is not talking about a full slave, because a full slave in Jewish law has no concept of marriage. Yeah, they don't have marriage. It's not considered to be a full slave, a non-Jewish slave, not considered to be susceptible to the institution of marriage. They just cohabitate. Mm-hmm. However, we're talking about a person who's half slave and half free. Okay, so one man, he had two masters, one of which released him. So therefore, he's half slave and half free. So I'm alone. So he said, "Ishmini min adults." We're family. Shechetzio ever chetzio ben chorin. Somebody's half slave and half free. You could, although it's not brought down, it says over there, you compel his master to release him, the one who still retains ownership. V'am Hashem Barba, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Hashem Barba, the name Rabbi Hashem Barba Yochanan, name Rabbi Yochanan, they beat to Peribiriv, because he's prevented from being fruitful and multiplying. So, Adam Ra's teacher was sure, Evan, a half free, half slave, Mitzuva Peribiriv was required to be fruitful and multiply. And therefore, of course, Choshu Mitzuva, our Peribiriv, everybody's commanded to be fruitful and multiply, also Elisa B'Moyd is not to get married, Cholam Moed. Right? Lest he get married, he put off the marriages to them. That's one reason. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Leah, Elon, Rabbi Lezer, Rishem, Rabbi Chinna said, Al Shem, Ein Shem, Avayim, Tzimuch, Tzimuch, you can't get married, Cholam Moed, because you're now to mix together two different types of joy. The joy of Yontif and the joy of getting married. Okay? Yeah, honestly. Yeah. That's why you don't celebrate two marriages simultaneously. You have twins, they can't get married the same night. Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. Eat Simcha. Yeah. 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 Unless it's something which is, you know, doesn't brook delay like a bris. But anything else, yeah, you put it off till after the answer. Honest. Okay, you think about it. In the meantime, we'll go further. Says on Rabbi Lo Shama Minado. Rabbi Lo learned it from here.
Sorry, please. Go back to the prior tomorrow. There is no proof about it. It's not saying the concept of the phone that everything is obligated in this period of the river. All we have is the Chatsi.
True, that's what it means. That the Chatsi Chori is obvious. That's sufficient. You're right. The Chatsi Evet part is not necessarily required. Yeah. It means this person in this situation, because of his half free blood. Okay, so says Rabbi Lo Shama, let me know the Rabbi Lo, learn that from here. He says, Ki Chanukah Samizbech, also Shivas Yomim. Shlomo Melech, when he consecrated the Beis Hamikdash, she made that year they didn't fast Yom Kippur. Because they made the Simcha of the Beis Hamikdash for the 7 days preceding Yom Kippur, and then they made the Simcha of Sukkot for the 7 days after that. 7 days preceding Sukkot, and then the Simcha of Sukkot will be there after 7 days. So the big Shiloh, how come they, why did they have to fast on Yom Kippur? Did they do the right thing, not do the right thing, but not for tonight? Says the Gemara, that's one reason. That reason brought down in the Bible as well. Rabbi Yaakov Barachol loved Shem, let me learn that for another reason. Says that Lavan told Yaakov after he tricked him and gave him Leah instead of Rachel, Male Shvua Zos, finish the week for this one, and then take the next one, take Leah, then take Rachel. So we see that there are two separate events, and they got me mixed. Each one has to finish share brothers before the other one begins. Bobby does not bring down this reason, this second reason here, because the Chasam Soper says because we can't learn out from Lovin exactly, it was before the Torah was given, and Lovin wasn't a big tzaddik. So there, that's why the Bavli doesn't bring down this reason. But in fact, the Rambam, when he brings down Lof, Me'im, Marvin, Simcha, Zimcha, does bring down this reason from the Yerushalmi, from Lovin, as opposed to reason from the Beis Hamikdash. That's because it's a much more direct pasuk. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Avo, Shem Eliezer said he had another reason not to get married on Yontif, Mip Ne'a Torah, because of the toil. Now, that means that it ruins it's the toil not just of of the chatan itself, but the toil also of the shabrachs afterwards, and that's going to be important. Because Tani, we learned to the bride, so I'm scavin uva noisim erev arelu, you can get married on the day before Yontif, erev Yontif. So that's more lace, wait a minute, lace lo pli, Rabbi Lezer doesn't argue Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer says, you now have to get married on Yontif because of the toil involved, right? So it's going to, the toil involved getting married is going to detract from your preparations for Yontif, from your, to deal with Yontif properly. So if that's the case, how are you allowed to get married on Erev Yontif? The toil for the Sheva Brachas is going to detract from your, toward dealing with Yontif properly, right? Later, Dopli Rabbi Yochan, also Rabbi Yochan. Rabbi Yochan said, you're allowed to, now to get married the rest of the year because, I'm sorry, now to get married Yontif because then people won't get married the rest of the year, they'll wait always till Yontif in order to get married. Well, even if they want to get married on Erev Yontif, they're still going to wait till Yontif to get married because that way they can save money on the Sheva Brachas. Because all the Sheva Brachas will coincide with the festive meals of Yontif. But I feel Rabbi Chanina basically, and even Rabbi Chanina doesn't argue. So Chanina says the reason why you don't get married on Yontif is because they don't want to mix Simcha to Sim with Simcha. So even if you get married on Erev Yontif, still your whole Sheva Brachas, all the 7 days of celebrating, coincide with the 7 days of Yontif. So you're mixing up the Simchas. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Bo, Rabbi Bo said we have there's a idiom, there's a saying. Olas kalsa, the kala goes into the chuppah, nafkas tirchusa, and all the bother goes away. Is it true?
Absolutely, but at that point there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. So even though the Sheva Brachas is coming up, but that pales by comparison. So therefore, as long as the chasna itself is done before Yontif, it doesn't matter if the Shabbos is going to take all of Yontif, and that's why you can have a chasna marriage Erev Yontif, even though Yontif itself you cannot. Okay? Says more further. Ava Masu Gushof. You can take back your divorcee on Yontif, on Chol Moed. Neshena Simcha Ilo. It's not so happy. Hododat Omar Minasu. It depends why he divorced her, right? But here it says, Hododat Omar Minasu, and it's when you divorced her and when you were already fully married. I'm an Erisim, but if you're only betrothed and not fully married, so when you take it back, it's a Simcha, because you never really consummated your marriage, so that you're not allowed to do on Chol Moed, since it's a much bigger Simcha. Okay? Says, Marvaisi Isha Tachshiteh Abim Moed, a woman can make her toilet on Moed, the Chol Moed. Veli Tachshiteh Isha, what is her toilet we're talking about? Kodeles, to comb her hair, but kocheles, put on mascara, pokeses, put on blush, benotel sisara, remove her facial hair, besti ponea, and cut her nails, umaberes kli cheres aponea, and passes a sharp, although blunted, piece of pottery on her face. What is that referring to? Rabbi Yudan Abuid Rabbi Masanya. Rabbi Yudan Abuid, the father of Rabbi Masanya, said that is referring to Lashon Naki Masis. It's a clean language, but it's a euphemism for using a razor-type implement on the private parts of the body. Yes, you know, it's not. It's made out of pottery, but it's made to
ceramic.
Ceramic, right. That's right.
Right.
Okay, so the point is it wasn't made out of like a metal razor, I guess for some sort of safety sake.
Can a male?
No, only female. Oh, so first of all, here's the other parts of the body besides the face, it seems.
Could a male shave a ceramic razor?
No. Anything which has razor-like action is forbidden. Even ceramics. Okay, says more. I mean, a low cost of nation, Nivu law, she can't have facials. Train on Moray, I think they're facials. Maybe not on the rest of the body, this line. But it's the line treatment. Train on Moray, it's two on Moray, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Mona had an argument. Chanam, I once said, besiege Shuma, Tata, Besocha, Boy, Nechlegu. The Machlokas are the allowed to use these treatments or not, are even about the line which is going to come off during Cholamoy. I will see Shimatal Achmar, but she's leaving it until after the Yontif. Tiberko also forget it for sure for a minute. But Choron Amar, the other said, the see Shimatal Achmar is Machlugu. No, the Machlug is whether she can use the line which she leaves until after Yontif. I will see Shimatal to Besochamay, but the stuff you take off during Yontif, Divrei HaKol Mutter, that, since you beautify you for the last days of Yotam, that's Mutter according to everybody. We don't know who said what. I mean, Ma'adam Rabbi Chanina, since Rabbi Chanina said that Rabbi Yazim Shabbi Yochanan said of Rabbi Yudin Kedaitei, that Rabbi Yudin is following his line of reasoning known from us to, from elsewhere. Kemar Rabbi Yudin Amar Tamon, just like Yudin said elsewhere, Tzorat Shoa Tzorah. Affliction for a short time is an affliction. Kenor Me'acha, so to me it says, Nibul Shoa Nibul. Even to have that facial for a short amount of time, Cholamoid, is prohibited because even temporary pain is prohibited in a Cholamoid. Okay? Certainly you can't go to the dentist or the doctor on Chol Moed. It's going to cause you anguish of this sort. Okay? Having to offer, so you must say, B'sichu matatu b'tocha moed nechliku, that the machlokus is even about the stuff which is beautifying you on Chol Moed itself. B'sichu matatu l'acha moed, but stuff which is you're just going to take off after Chol Moed, for sure, give me a call us, everybody, because for sure, it is not for Chol Moed. Okay. You have a regular common guy, he can sew the normal fashion. But a tailor has to make a difference in the way he sews on Chol Moed. He's Mekalev, the Gemara is going to say what that is. When it's allowed, the way they used to make their beds in the old day, they used to have strips of leather which used to crisscross to hold up, you know, the mattress. So they're allowed to do that on Chol Moed. Rabbi Yosef Rav Machmi also even allowed to tighten them. The base Rabbi Yana Amar Kedarko. What's the way a guy does if he's a commoner? Memalias Amachat. He's allowed even to fill a needle. Now this is the way to make fine seams before sewing machines. Right? There was time before sewing machines. So he actually has to have tailors make seams. So what he does is used to stick a lot of material on the needle, in, out, in, out, in, out, you know, like make it like an accordion. And that way the seams were very fine. Okay, because everything was, there were many, many small stitches. So that, a commoner guy is allowed to do. But a tailor can't do because that's expert craftsman work. And expert craftsman work is forbidden on Chol Moed. Okay? So, It's a Gemara. Teira. Mekalev achas achas. The Mekalev is when you do one by one, meaning you don't put multiple stitches on the needle at one time, but you stick it in, stick it out, stick it in, stick it out. And that's a more coarse scene. Rabbi Yochamar, Kedarko is achas achas. No. To make the small seams is for sure also an answer. Kedarko, what a commoner is allowed to do, Kedarko is achas achas, one in, one out, one in, one out. Mekalev, that which it says like a dog stitch, which a craftsman's got to do, that's matzia, where you make even broader stitches. And even broader stitches, he has to make even broader stitches, again, because he cannot engage in his craft on Chol Moed. Matzis Messiah Rabbi Yochanan. There's a proof to Rabbi Yochanan from another Mishnah. It says, or writes, it says, Haleitz Anim, these are belt makers, Mekalbin B'moed. They can do a Mekalbin on Moed. Well, in Tamar, if you're going to say Mekalbin means Achas Achas, one stitch, one stitch. So, Kachim Nusa, that's not a difference. That's the way they normally work. Because they can't make fine stitch work in leather belts. Right? Or at least they couldn't. So it says, well, Kenan Kayamin, so it must be that what is Mekalbin that a belt maker can do? Mafsia, making extra large stitches, and that's what a craft is allowed to do. A craft is not allowed to even make normal stitches, much less nobody, even the commoner, is allowed to make the very fine stitches. Says the Gemara, Ezu Hedi of Ezoma, what's a commoner, what's an expert tailor? I'm Rabbi Yisrael. Kosher Mizadik Imrios. Anybody who properly makes hems. Now here, there's a few words missing. The Shinuin Nuschos on the bottom of the Gemara brings them down. He says somebody who does the hems finely. Zel Uma. That's a craftsman. Kosher Einu Mizadik Imrios. Anybody that doesn't do the hems finely. Zui Hedio. That's a commoner. Says Gemara. I'm Rabbi Simon, but Tofer Kisin Masnisa. That's not a good indication. Because maybe we're not talking in our Mishnah about making garments, in which case they're hems. Maybe we're talking about sewing on pockets. So therefore, he needs some better way of identifying, but he does not provide us with it. The Machim was allowed to stretch a bread. Rabbi Yossi Amar Yisbalgi Chizki Rabbi Yochanan Chizki Rabbi Yochanan Machlokes Chizki Amar Sirug Shtiva Erev. Sirug means the crisscross, like I said before. Mituach, the stretch is Osho Siro Erev, is either going warp or woof in either direction and tightening. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Sirug Osho Siro Erev. Siru can mean either a crisp or cross, but not necessarily both. And mituach means something else altogether. Paisa rafa, if it was loose, mematcha, you stretch it. Now, the Gemara goes on in this vein. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, hakomodim. Now, everybody can see it. But siru, that what's called siru, shushivar, that's crisscrossing. Ma pligin, what's a machlokas, vimisuach, what's called tightening. Chizkiyar oshasi o erev. Chizkiyar says it means tightening in one or two directions, but not both. Rabbi Yochanan, no, makes no difference in direction. Means imoy so rafa, if it was loose with matka, you stretch it. Rabbi Yasa or Ilishmuv, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yipad told Rabbi Shmuv, Rabbi Chanina that siru kishtiva erev going crisscross. We don't know if that's because he kadod chizkiyar, because he holds like chizkiyar's definition. Because so nobody disagreed that that is what siruk means. I have a price which proves us, a Mishnah actually, that siruk is shesiv erev, that siruk means crisscross. The Tinat Saman, I know you're all excited by this one, that's why I'm going a little bit faster. The Tinat Saman, we learned over there, Hachevel, the rope, Me'emasai Uchibu Amita, where it's considered to be connected to the bed, Mishisai Bashloshabadi, when you crisscross three, literally, houses. Now, three houses is a term used when you make patterns. If Siru just meant going one direction or the other direction, you could warp or woof, you couldn't say, call it making a pattern, which is a house. So it must be that Sirug is Shisiba Erev, crisscrossing, so that's how you have three houses, three sets of patterns. Okay? Again, the Gemara says that Yisuk Meimar Shisib Lo Erev, Lo Erev, Lo Shti, can you say it's one direction, not the other? You're talking about houses? Obviously not. Now, Ma'ul Arin Sarek, this is a cool question. A time on a Jewish question. If I have a bed already made, can I say, nah, I want another bed? And use our halachic rules. A legal loophole is if I intend to use the second bed and the first bed is not sufficient, and make another bed on Chol HaMoed, even though it's not absolutely necessary. So says the Gemara, yes. Rabbi Yeshua says no. It says, how could it be? Yitzhak Kemach V'tochen Chitin already has flour and he goes out to grind more wheat? Makes no sense. So obviously he cannot do it a second. He can't do it. Nevertheless, we don't pass that way. As Mora says, Rabbi Zira Amar Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Zira said to Rabbi Yonah, Puk Zamalach Shechurin L'duchna, go buy us legumes for grinding. Amar Lezer said, Yislam Pilchot Amada, we have plenty of ground legumes for Yonah. We don't need more. The Ikbi Dulavi, Rabbi Zira got upset at it. Why? Because really, Harama ruses our mutter. That's why we have a bunch of ruses in Judaism, which are permitted. It's only if one straightforwardly goes and does something forbidden that it's forbidden, in many cases, but when one uses a ruse, particularly by the Rabbanans, very often it works. So here too, one is allowed, even though one has ample supply, to pretend that one doesn't want to use one's supply once one's fresh, and one can go out and take the fresh beans and grind them, not on Yontif necessarily, but on Chol HaMoed. Okay? So one's allowed to do the extra work. Okay, Ma'amin is on Rabbi Kirayim, by the way, one can set up an oven, and a Kirayim is another form of oven on Chol HaMoed. One cannot braid millstones initially on Yontif. If they're not braiding well, they abrade them. You can't do that on Chol HaMoed, I'm sorry. Can't do Chol HaMoed, you have to use for Yontif, it's too much work. Okay, says Gemara, Tana Rav Chaltav 13, Zayin. Tana Rav Chaltav Bar Shol said, Uvach Loik Derenu B'tchila. You're allowed to make a new, you're allowed to fix a new oven, but fire it. You know, pottery ovens are made out of clay, and they fire them in a kiln. That you can't do a Chol HaMoed. If you have one, you know, you're getting an oven delivered from ABT, right? So you can have it delivered. Apt.
Right.
You have it delivered on Chiyotin, but you cannot make one, construct one on Yotin. On Cholamoy, excuse me. Tani, we learn, now we're going to shift gears to it now about Cholamoy, but about Yotin. Tani, Tanrubi Kiram Chadoshim, a new oven, ain't Sochim Osam B'Shemen, was now allowed to coat them with oil, because it's like finishing them up, and that's not permitted on Yotin. Vain Tolin Osam Malis was not allowed to rub them with a rag, which also like a polishing. Vain Chosmin Osam Malis was saying one cannot strengthen them, forge them, by putting cold water on them when they are hot. Bishvil she is chasm in order to forge them. However, Vim Bishvil it should be Lishposo Lame Sakhtay, if you're doing it in order to boil some water, and the water happens to boil over, Mutsa, that's okay. Even on Yontif. The Tanya came and also learned this in Brysa. Tanya Bikirai Chadoshim, a new oven. Harei Kikol came and talked to Bechotze, like all vessels which can be carried in the courtyard. In other words, you're allowed to use them on the altar, but you're just not allowed to strengthen them or do a finishing touches on them. Rabbi and Rabbi Shmuel, Horei Midochak, he allowed in the Doichak, meaning where there was no choice, there were compelling necessity, Lavi Kir Chadoshim to bring a new stove, Mibesa Umar, from the craftsman's house, to boil food initially beyond this. Even though it's a very difficult thing to be mati, even a chomoyed was not supposed to go to a craftsman's house and pick up finished goods. We're going to have that in the second parak because it looks bad. And certainly not in Yom Tov because you might actually fix it in place, cement it in place. Nevertheless, it was a tight spot. They didn't have anything left to cook on Yom Tov, so if you allowed them to go ahead and fix it in spot on Yom Tov, no, not fix it in spot, and use a new oven on Yom Tov in order to cook. Okay, we'll stop here for this evening, and I hope that we didn't miss Marv yet.